is really wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile is in the making. We gotta fight the powers that be. Good afternoon. Welcome to, well, who is this? I don't even know. I'm so tired. I am exhausted but exhilarated from the National Emergency Summit on Gentrification and particularly the town hall meeting. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. Welcome you to this April 8th edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM in collaboration with YCRadio.org. And if I'm stumbling and fumbling today, because I be tired. Whew, the amount of energy we put into this National Emergency Summit was incredible. But what an incredible outcome. So today, I'm counting on you, the listening audience, to call in. We're devoting the entire show to a report back from the National Emergency Summit on Gentrification, the Newark Town Hall meeting on gentrification, with the subject, the Negro Removal Program of the 21st Century. The Town Hall meeting was carried live right here on WBAI, and we certainly want to thank Linda Perry, Berthold Reimers, and our studio producer right now, Reggie Johnson, who did a hell of a job in making everything happen, all the technical people who made it possible. Channel 18 in Newark, which is the city channel, all the communications department there, the tech specialists at NJIT all collaborated to make sure that everybody could plug in. And that included our sister station, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and, of course, SiriusXM Progress 127 recorded and will rebroadcast. And C-SPAN covered it, though I have not been able to find out whether they've yet shown it or, frankly, how to go through the archives to find out when it will be shown. I did a quick little search just before coming on the air. Probably by now it's been shown once, and if there's anybody who saw it, they should let us know and can tell people how to access it, because they will show it usually two or three, maybe three times, but then you can go to the archives and you can view it. So those who listen can also go back and see it, because hearing it was one thing. Actually seeing about 700 people packed, jammed into the ballroom at the New Jersey Institute of Technology was a sight to behold. And, of course, the knowledge that was dispensed, and, oh, well, it was just, let me just stop commenting on and get back to my the special shout-outs I need to do. Also, just want to give a special shout-out to the source of knowledge, that great bookstore over in Newark, New Jersey, right there on, I think it's Broad Street, not too far from City Hall, actually. The sisters from there came in, and they just decorated everything up so beautifully, in such African decor, particularly for the reception that was held just prior to the town hall meeting and the hallway, it's in the hall itself. It was just wonderful. Just want to give them a really big shout-out. Also, Dr. Monique Swift, who was the commandante, I called her. She's a bad sister of the local host committee there of that helped the volunteers. This is mostly done with volunteers who worked with us on the entire summit as well as the town hall meeting. Well, since you are the ones who listened, we'd like for you to call in and just give us feedback, questions you may want to ask, issues you may want to raise. This whole conversation is about a report back from the National Emergency Summit on Gentrification. So like I say, I be tired. So now if y'all don't call and cooperate, I might faint on the airways. No, I don't want that to happen. So you can begin to call at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. I also just want to thank so many people. When we asked people how many people heard it on WBAI, I mean, huge numbers of people raised their hands, which is why these partnerships and these relationships and collaborations are so important. I don't know how many people came over from New York, but a good number of people did, you know, 700 people. I don't know, maybe 100 people may have come. But I was particularly impressed by several people who came up to me after the town hall meeting just to say they listened to Vantage Point. And particularly there was one, a couple of younger people, you know, and who came up and say how much they learn and how much they appreciate the show and whatever. I was really, really moved by that because you really want to know that you're getting the word out there and that you're connecting, and that's incredibly important. So I just want to thank everybody who listens to WBAI and responded because of what you heard. Everything wasn't perfect, little glitches here and there, but that's the way it rolls and goes sometimes. But the turnout was awesome. It was really a jam-packed auditorium. And again, a special thank to those who came up and say that they listened to Vantage Point as a part of the overall menu here on WBAI. 212-209-2877. If you listened to the broadcast and heard it, any reactions, just feedback. You can call and say it was awesome, or you can call and say it was terrible, or you can call and say you had an issue that you wanted to discuss. Certainly you heard a clip from Assemblyman Charles Barron. He was on fire. Of course, we expected Larry Ham to be on fire. He was just like teaching about gentrification heavily. And, of course, our own beloved Frederica Bay, she was on it as well. Really, really, really strong. And then we had people from the panelists from New Orleans, from Jackson, Mississippi, from Baltimore, from Atlanta, all over the country, from Omaha, Nebraska, on the panel. So it was really, and then Mark Thompson, we really want to give him a big shout out. He's always a friend. He always is willing to moderate and help put these programs together. And we really appreciate the way he facilitated and moderated the panel a big time. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. We'll get you in with your feedback, comments, concerns, issues, whatever you'd like to say today. The entire program is devoted to a report back from the National Emergency Summit on Gentrification and the town hall meeting in particular, because it was carried live here on WBAI. Well, for an overview of the summit, because the town hall meeting was the public event, there were about 75 to 100 people who came from cities and municipalities and organizations from all across the country. We had conversations featuring civil rights leaders, community-based organizers, community economic development practitioners, some elected officials. It was a broad cross-section of people who came together. And we really, really got into an examination of what's driving gentrification and beginning to figure out how we can cope with it. In fact, one of the slogans that came out that emerged was the notion that we came because of an emergency, but we are emerging really determined to rebuild and revitalize our communities. So that was sort of the overview. And, of course, Mayor Baraka spoke also at the closed sessions. But then Mark Morial, president of the Urban League, also was there. And he really talked about some of the same things that Charles Barron talked about in a slightly different way. But leveraging our power, that elected officials have the power to blunt and stop gentrification. Another recommendation was that every housing development, every development period ought to have a African American or a racial equity assessment impact statement. How is it going to affect black people, but people of color in general? How is it going to affect people? Because gentrification is displacing black people and black culture. And that was talked about a great deal, the displacement of culture. The other thing that came through loud and clear is people are not just interested, many, particularly the activists, in just rebuilding. They want to heal black communities, and they also want culture to be an integral part of it. They want to deal with the intergenerational trauma, and they want to be in a position to talk about how do people take control of their own destiny. And, of course, Dr. Sophia Omari, the chief of staff for Mayor Chokwe Antar Lumumba from Jackson, Mississippi, made that clear, that they are there to serve the people. Doesn't mean it will be perfect, by the way. You know, there may be tensions and so forth. In fact, there was a demonstration outside of the town hall meeting. There was a group that's called Homes for Newark, for All Newark, and they have some issues that they wanted to express, and they have every right to do that. And the mayor, in some ways, was responding to that, saying, okay, but make your critiques inside rather than outside. Let's work it out. Let's struggle with each other, but let's not become enemies or not have those who are friends, potentially friends, you know, sort of because we have a disagreement, ally with our enemies. So he was really passionate, very strong, one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard, frankly, on some of these issues. Because, I mean, he was really, really strong. So anyway, 212-209-2877 gets you into the conversation. We have callers. I'm glad we do, because, like I said, I don't want to talk for the whole period. I need some help because I'm exhausted. This was a tremendous undertaking, lots of energy, and it is going to be, it is potentially a game-changing summit that we conducted. Let's go to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, good morning. This is Lisa from Westchester. How are you?
Doing
well,
fine.
I hear you're tired. I know. It was a powerful summit. I am so glad. I came from, like I said, Westchester, so I'm here in New Rochelle. And I just loved it. What I was hoping would come out of this is this becomes the governing body for how we're going to deal with gentrification in the rest of the country so that we can answer to it. This is something that kind of needs to go on because the gentrification issues, they're happening so fast.
That's right.
Here in New Rochelle, it's happening, and no one really knows. It's a small town. I think it would make an excellent case study of how it works. The officials here have put every project that comes up for new development, they have them on a fast track, 90 days. From the time they send the petition, you know, to build something, they want to approve it in 90 days. Why it's a fast track, nobody will, so that people can't, you know, react to it and stop it if it's something that they don't like. So it's something that we need to have. That was such an excellent group of folks that should be leading or helping to, you know, organize everyone across the country so that we have a strong voice. That's what I was thinking we should be doing.
Well, that is a part of the plan. There will be at least the discussions about creating. First of all, there will be a national resource center.
Yeah.
A national resource center. There are already some people who have been mapping gentrification all across the country. A sister from Miami University of Ohio, Nashani Frazier, associate professor of history from there, came into the summit based on some work that we did last year. I tried to connect that in my remarks. She started that project. And she was able to show mapping of gentrification in like scores of cities across the country, but also who's reacting, who are the actors in a way so that we can connect with them. A similar project is also coming out of the Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Justice out of Harvard University under the leadership of Dr. David Harris. So that's going to be happening. And then there was a discussion of creating either a national coalition or a national alliance of the people who were involved so that, and we had a cross-section professional planners, community economic development specialists, grassroots community-based activists. That was the uniqueness of it. It was not just one sector, but a cross-section of people coming together. And that's good because these folks don't always see eye to eye, but they need to be in the same room together, you know, discussing and meeting each other. And it was a really, really rich summit in that regard. And there was a strong determination that this has to continue. And we're going to be moving along those lines. So thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming and attending and your recommendations. And we are, I can assure you that we're moving down that path. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. We have other callers. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Dr. Daniels, how you doing?
Doing fine.
I just want to say, my daughter's teacher, Campbell, Jennifer Martin, I wish she would have been there. She's born and raised in Newark. She needs to make Newark one of her stopping grounds. I mean, too many people like Sarah Vaughan, that live in Newark and become big and become superstars, and they leave, and they don't come back and invest in Newark. My daughter is one of them. So that aside, I'm saying, what occurred at your event? I went there early and I was able to get into the closed session, but so I went back home in Kingsburg, New Jersey, and I got back, and about 7 minutes, I got to hear the closing remarks from our mayor, Rob Barack, and I'm telling you, he had me in tears. That man was, he was on point, he was on fire, he was speaking to us and not at us. I mean, I thought I was listening to his father, Mary Barack, all over again. I mean, he's speaking to his base, I mean, his heart and his head is in the right place. And he know it, and we know it. You can't stop this train called gentrification. It's going at 90 miles an hour. You know, Newark was laid dormant, Newark laid in the rubbish and all that stuff when the urban riots took place 50 years ago. It took them 50 years to get to this point. I welcome it. I mean, we just got to be at the table, like Charles Vance said. We got to be at the table. We have to be a part of the policy, decision-making process, because if we ain't at the table, like Charles Barron said, we're going to be part of the menu. So the idea that our mayor is trying to encourage us to be more participatory, more involved in the political process is a big thing. And he's doing the best he can. I mean, I'm just thrilled that he is evolving. You know, he took his gloves off at that event. I mean, he didn't pull no punches. He laid it down the way it should be laid down. And we could take it or leave it. But his legacy is, I did what I had to do, and I did the best of my ability. And I didn't short shrift you in the process. And I think that's all you can ask for these people who serve and serve our best interest, and when they go to wherever they go to do our bidding. I mean, and he's genuine. He's authentic. And I'm like, damn, that was okay, because that was the culmination of all the great speakers. You had scholars and Dean Chunga right hand. That's a scholar. That's Jewish scholar. That's a scholar. And sometimes you get lost in the nuances of your scholarship. But not that me, Rocket Son, Rod Rocket, it's not interesting. He's evolving, but man, he spoke to the people, to the grassroots, and that's right. About phenomenal. And you got to, and I owe all that to you, around and getting the years to do that. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it so much. And by the way, yeah, and he talked about the complexity all throughout the summit. People talked about this. This is why we called this. You know, the Institute of the Black World 21st Century called for a national emergency session summit because it is an emergency. And quite frankly, you know, we, as I said in the session, we didn't know how we were going to do this. We didn't know where the resources were going to come or whatever. We had the cooperation of the city. We had the extraordinary help of the New Jersey Institute for Technology that worked very closely with us, the Robert Treat Hotel. I mean, there were different partners and stakeholders, you know, who were willing to do their best to make this happen. And certainly, you know, Carmelo Garcia, the chief development officer for the city of Newark, who's been working with us as a liaison, and also the Department of Economic and Housing Development, and the staff there, and the communication staff. Everybody worked hard to bring this about. But what people should know is that the city of Newark, under Mayor Roz Baraka, is not just set up waiting for the train to overrun them. I mean, they understand that it's complicated, that it's tough, that it's difficult. But he outlined the ways in which they are trying to stay in front of this, acknowledging, however, that it's a tough, it's not easy, but the steps are being taken. The inclusionary zoning, the whole notion that when the state passes legislation around land banks, and that'll create new kinds of opportunities for not only land banks but community land trust. And these community land trusts means that once they are designated in a certain way, they cannot be taken by developers, ever. They will be held in common in perpetuity. He talked about the whole question of worker cooperatives. I think he talked about a paper factory that's going to be coming. And that, by the way, was one of the things that was mentioned last year at the town hall meeting by Reverend Jonathan Weaver, who is the president of the collective economic group out of Baltimore. He's been doing this work for 20-something years. And so that's what we are doing, Institute of the Black World 21st Century, is bringing attention to, but also trying to find ways to support what is happening in Newark, because Newark is potentially, it's on the front lines, it's fighting back, but it's also developing policies that potentially can be looked at all across the country. And that was talked about. People were sharing what was going on in different communities. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. This is your show in the sense that we're wanting feedback from people who heard the national town hall meeting on the airways or who were present for a town hall meeting that has got to be one of the most phenomenal I have attended. And I was sitting there helping to moderate it. My jaws were dropping several times because of the knowledge that was being dispensed by this incredible panel. And I'm proud to say a panel that we in the Institute of Black World 21st Century assembled. And the mayor acknowledged it. He turned around and he said, whew, I mean, this, what, and you know, what we brought were people with all kinds of knowledge. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. Everybody who was at the summit was there. We had them all stand so everybody could see them. We couldn't identify all of them because that would have taken up too much time. But they were there. And we wanted you to see them, to let people know that there are people all across the country that support Newark. Now, that doesn't mean that we support it uncritically. That doesn't mean that we don't have questions and we're having ideas and debates. That's, as the mayor said, that's healthy. You got to have debate. You know, but I mean, if I have something I'm going to say to the mayor, my first thing, you ain't going to hear me say it publicly. He's my ally. He's my friend. I will first talk to him privately and say, well, what's up with this and that? And, you know, and he alluded to that, by the way. I mentioned some things to him. He put it out there. He said, Ron Daniels has already mentioned a couple of things. But he didn't have to say that because I didn't come out and say, well, I'll get on the radio and say, No, I'm not doing that because that's my ally. That's my friend. And that's my friend politically for years in terms of the lineage of relationships with the city of Newark and with the Baraka family and the rebellion there and all those good things going back almost a half century, frankly. So I'm not coming out with criticisms first and foremost in any public way. It would have to be awful, awful serious before you hear me out publicly, you know, saying I have an issue with something because I have the ability to talk about it. And what Mayor Baraka did was invite critics. He even gave the phone number out. He said, come on into the boardroom. Let's sit down and let's struggle with each other to work this out. Because I think there's an openness to doing that. Again, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. The whole show is devoted today. And again, we're looking for people who attended the town hall meeting or listened to it and heard it. And if anybody saw it on C-SPAN, I know some people have already said that they saw it. I don't know where they saw it. It was on the IBW website. Certainly showed it. I don't know whether it's been on C-SPAN yet or not. I know Channel 18 carried it live. But if it was on C-SPAN, let us know. Call and let us know. And if you know how to access it, share that with the audience, including me, because I can't figure out how to get on to the C-SPAN website. I did it quickly because I know it usually shows the schedule. And usually C-SPAN will show something three or four times before they put it in the archive. So if it was last Saturday, this is only Tuesday, they may have showed it a couple times by now, but they may do maybe one or two more times. But you can always go to the archives and also view it. Again, 212-209-2877 gets you into the conversation. Let's go to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi there. I'm on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to say that I didn't have the opportunity to go, but I did listen. And in listening, I found it very informative. I also would like to commend WBAI for having aired it, and I hope that we get the opportunity to hear it again in the very near future. Now, from BAI, you know, we are privied to listening to some people of great interest, intelligence, and knowledge. Now, from the conference that was held, I connected that conference to a presentation that was done on BAI, which featured a book, The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein.
Right.
I also heard on BAI a book that gave information in regards to how it was a program, Donald, and please forgive me if I enunciate the gentleman's name incorrectly, but Daniel Inorvell, I believe. And the program, he's from the Northwestern University. And the program was on the media. Oh, no, that wasn't you. That was WNYC. But anyway, the bottom line is the book, How to Hide an Empire. So gathering the information from these sources, plus having a copy from the Congressional the Congress of the United States Superintendent of Documents, and it created pursuant to Section 5A of Public Law 304, 79th Congress. I would suggest that we as a people, we need to read this document and keep in mind also that 40 acres and a mule. Now, just to summarize and basically tie things up, the conference was good. It was a learning point. It is something that I feel should be reviewed, analyzed. Other sources of information should be recommended, introduced, so that we go about collecting and making certain demands in an intelligent way. For this fact, gentrification does not start yesterday or day before yesterday. It starts 50, 100 years in order to gentrify a area. To make it so that the people are forced to flee and others find a beautiful field of opportunity to gain wealth.
Absolutely. And many of these ideas were discussed. And the Rothstein book that you referenced, I'm familiar with, is an incredible book. And it is one that is being examined, frankly, by the Congressional Black Caucus. Sheila Jackson Lee, who's leading the charge for H.R. 40, the bill to not just study reparations and whether it's warranted. We're beyond that. It is the bill to study reparations proposals for African Americans, which is qualitatively different. And the Rothstein book is one of the books that is being seriously examined. I've yet to read it. I intend to, but I'm familiar with it, and it is being highly regarded. And the notion, Dr. Julianne Malvo, many of the speakers traced and talked about, you know, the long history behind gentrification, the long history behind the perennial displacement of black people, and gentrification being the most recent iteration of it. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your call and your thoughtful recommendations. Others can call at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. The whole show today is devoted to a program last Friday from 7:30 to about 10 o'clock, really 2.5 hours, in which you had the opportunity here on WBAI to hear live a national town hall meeting, which was the public dimension and aspect of a national emergency summit that was from April 4th through the 6th. In fact, we culminated the morning of April 6th, actually, with people coming together with great energy and enthusiasm to talk about how do we continue. We've already talked about some of the ideas in that regard. Anyone who heard the show, would like for them to call and give their feedback. Anybody who was present, please call. And if you weren't, If you just have ideas that you want to share about this monster gentrification, please give us a call at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Let's go right now to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello?
You're on the air.
I'm calling because I just want to say thank you, because for the past 4 years I've been raising this on BAI. Please do something about ethnic cleansing of black people from New York, because what happened is I've been working with Professor Terry Hum from Queens College as a researcher, and then I started to teach kids in the summer what gentrification looks like here in Flushing. And one name that kept coming up was the name of the guy by the name of Adam Murmerstein from Treetop Development. He's been buying all these buildings in Harlem, in the South Bronx, all over in black communities and moving out black communities. Right now, he even owned the building that Kermit Eady built in Harlem, the Buff Building. Hmm. He bought the building they said it's like the hip-hop shrine in the Bronx, in Cedric Avenue, where Kool Herc comes from. Hmm. He's been buying buildings all over. Now he's going through Section 8 housing like crazy, buying all these Section 8 housing all across America. He's now the second largest owner of all of these Section 8 housing in black communities in downtown cities like Newark, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. He even just picked up a whole unit in South Miami, and he's moving out all of these black people. His name is Adam Murmerstein from Treetop Development.
You know what? You know what would be helpful? IBW21.org, IBW21.org is our email address. It would be good if you just share some of that information, any references, any studies that you have on this, because we're collecting this information. In fact, if you go to the IBW website, you find just tremendous amount of information on gentrification that we've just been putting up on the website, article after article after article. And study, and as well as the most extensive online resource center on reparations anywhere in the world on the IBW website, IBW21.org. That's www.IBW21.org. But the email address is info@IBW21.org. Would you please send us that information, because we're going to be aggregating. We have a national resource center that we're building, so that this information, because we're going to start tracking. That's the other thing the mayor said. You know, there was a question about the zoning ordinance and people getting around it, and the city was being saying, well, you're not. And he was saying, look, you know, that may be true. Well, let's get together. The activists and the organizers, take us to the properties and let's expose these people, and then let's work together to call them out. Because he was saying the administration by itself may not be able to do everything it needs to be done. So I want to quickly move to the next caller, but please, info@IBW21.org. Send us studies, the studies that you have, the research that you've been doing. That would be very helpful. Okay, thank you much. Really appreciate it. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. You are saying a lot of very, very vital things. One of the things is building black wealth, right? So that goes arm in arm with gentrification. So if you would have, if Ras Baraka were to perhaps use this as an opportunity to apply this system they used in Germany, which works with no money, it's moving money around, you can eliminate utility bills. So African Americans will be able to save more money. What it is like in Germany, they said, all right, we're going to put solar on your building, on your home, the home you own. So they install the solar, and they say, don't pay anything. Just pay your regular light bill, your regular gas bill. Keep paying the regular bill. And this is how they did it in Germany. They have solar on like something like 80%. And also in Germany, you're not allowed to build a home without you having solar. It must be there or they will retrofit. But you understand the way they did it without really using money? They just they installed the solar. Like Ras Baraka could have a building campaign in Newark to install solar on African American homes, and then the people don't only all they do is pay their same bills until it's paid off. So they lose nothing. There's no strain or pain for the owner. You know, this is how Germany did it. And no one in this country is doing it, but I think he could really open a huge window for all African-American communities if this was implemented.
Well, I'm certainly sure the mayor is open to that. I would suspect that he has some of the staff or tuning in and listening, and certainly we're collecting these recommendations and suggestions and passing them on. So thanks much. Really appreciate that suggestion about examining how the electrical bills were done in Germany in a way that really saves consumers and therefore is a net saving overall. Appreciate it so much. Others can call it 212-209-2877. One of the things that came through very, very, very clear at the summit was for people who are in these areas where you bought a home. I'm just using this illustration. You bought the home at $200,000. And then all of a sudden people are knocking on your door saying, we'll give you $500,000 for it. And people are saying, oh, wow, that's a $300,000 profit. And so people all across the country are, as Malcolm would say, falling for the okey-doke. And they're selling at $500,000. I'm just using this as an example. But many of those same properties are now worth $1.5 million. Hold on to your property. Invest in it. Build it. The other thing that was mentioned was that, you know, like churches and various other institutions really have to not only do economic development, but you have to increase the value of the property. Invest in it. Build up the equity. Generate wealth from it. And that was one of the things that came through really, really strongly. So many people had been really victimized because the other side of it is you end up getting $500,000, but you can't then you can't then end up buying or even renting a facility in the very neighborhood, because then the price goes beyond that $500,000. If it's 1.5 million, and that, I heard some examples were so extreme, it was just like blew your mind. I mean, units just something like it was like small efficiency units and so forth in certain places, just crazy. Which means this is people got.
We have
crazy
more callers,
money.
Professor.
So it's really important that you know that you take on those lessons, that invest in your property, increase the value of your property. Because that's one of the ways that we're going to blunt gentrification. Okay, sorry, just wanted to continue to lay out some of the suggestions that were being made. Let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes. Yes, sir. I was at that symposium last Friday down at NJIT, and I found it so informative, and I really appreciate it. But I'm living here in East Orange. And the gentrification is crazy around here. When I get a chance, you know, I do have the email address, the IBW21, because I did some research on one of these realty companies that's located down on 24 Commerce Street. It's called One Wall Partners. And they have all these one wall signs in front of the buildings that they have purchased up here in East Orange. And other cities that they've targeted are East Orange, Irvington, Jersey City, Patterson, and also Pittsburgh. So these are vast cities where a lot of black people are living, and their strategy is to buy up a lot of these apartment buildings. And what they're trying to create, you know, like an empire, like right under our nose that we don't even know about.
Mm. And one of the things, as you know, that came through clearly at the summit was this ain't just local. It's global, just like the previous
it's
caller
global.
Was talking about. They're
it's
buying
global.
Up property. It is people from all over the country that you don't know them and have no they are coming in, snatching up these properties. And one of the ways they're doing it is through these opportunity zones that came up as a part of the conversation. And so we're also looking at ways to try to, you know, deal with that so that city governments actually pass regulations saying you can only take advantage of an opportunity zone if you have A, B, C, D in it. If it doesn't have A, B, C, D in it, as Assemblyman Charles Barron said, then it ain't happening, because that's one of the ways you get equip people with the tools to make sure that gentrification is turned back. Look, appreciate your call and your participation, and we're going to keep on keeping on. Thanks much. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ron Daniels. This is John Brinkley from Plainfield.
I saw you out in the audience.
Excuse me?
I saw you out in the audience.
Yes. It was a great panel, and there was so much going on, including Larry Hammond and Pop had their tribute to Martin Luther King with the march down through the center of the city, and then King Gibson's North's first black mayor, his funeral on Thursday night. And the panel that you established, each one was hard for the one following to be more dynamic than the previous panelists, but they all had so much to contribute. Now, the one thing that stood out that Charles Barron said was that one thing he would ask a developer would be, what is the AMI that they're using? What is the average median income
right,
that he is using? Is he using it for folks he wants to move in, or are you using the local of the people that are there in their development? And so that's one thing that there was so much to take away. And Raz, when he finally came in, one of the things that he was talking about was process, in terms of knowing your allies and friends and your enemies. When you're in the room and you're in with your allies and you have a discussion, and there may be 10 different points, if you agree on 8, go with that. Don't beat each other to death and come out with nothing. And that's true for any organization, including BAI. But it was a dynamic panel, and I'm looking forward to all the follow-up to it, because it really was a high bar that you set.
Well, you know, and I want to come back to that point as well, because, you know, I often get into trouble on this on the airways because I talk about that, even in terms of political stuff. You know, and because those 2 points you disagree with may be substantive points. They may be things that are egregious even. But on the other hand, if you have 8 things you agree on, then, you know, in order to move forward, you continue to argue about the 2, but you move those 8 forward. And very often what we find is it's just the other way around. People will take the 2, and then they can't ever deal with you for all time. You become – and that's just not the way – in the real world, even within revolutions, it works, because people who are working with each other, you know, I often mention the extreme example of Mao Zedong and Chiang Kai-shek. You know, you know they had tremendously different goals, but they came together to stop the Japanese. They created a united front to stop the Japanese, and then they were enemies, and they came together. And then they fought it out later in terms of what the future of China would be. So I think there's a certain growth and certain that has to be done. And again, Roz was talking about reading, you know, how other people have dealt these things. Look, John Brinkley, really, really appreciate you, man. You're always so supportive. Really appreciate him. Let's go to our next caller, please, and others can call it 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to say that we have to have more unity, and it sounds so cliche, it's in our community.
Yes, but if you heard the town hall meeting, one of the things that is important to talk about is principled unity, because not everybody, even people who agree with each other, will just sort of do unity. That's why operational unity is important. Mary Baraka,
Kwame
Ture, and others have always talked about operational unity, uniting around those things that you agree on in terms of principle. Because just uniting is, you know, like, is not that, that sounds good, but that just doesn't, it is a cliche. But in order to operationalize it, you have to have a science and art to doing it. And the science, the art to doing it is to have unity without uniformity. That is to say, to unite around those things that you can work on while you struggle. As Ross Rock was saying, all those things you might disagree with.
And I also just wanted to say, the sister's doing a great job, Yvette Carnell from Breaking Brown on YouTube, because if it wasn't for her, people wouldn't even be talking about reparations now. And big ups to Yvette Carnell. Have a great day.
Okay, appreciate that. But a whole lot of people talking about reparations. I, frankly, been working on reparations all my life and have just only recently began to hear a little bit about her. So Ta-Nehisi Coates, I would suggest, has had more to bring reparations to the young millennial generation than anybody I know. Millions and millions of people coming up, and then others. So, you know, we appreciate all those who are coming around and who are now in the discussion around reparations. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello.
Hello.
This
you're
is
on
me
the air.
You talking to?
Yes. You're on the air.
Okay. Yes, I'm from New Jersey, and I caught it through the Facebook. Even though I was in the downtown area, but I was at another function, so I viewed it. And like the young lady was saying, speaking about the solar panels, actually. Here in Newark, we have a lot of agencies that move around and speak about solar panel, but unfortunately, like the house I live in, our roof wouldn't allow it because there's certain things that the fire department want at least 3 square feet at each end of the building, so in case of a fire. So actually, because of the way it's structured, a lot of houses can't have that solar. But it's not like solar haven't been talked about or here in Newark. It has been. And I just want to give kudos to my mayor, okay? And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, thanks much. And we're actually in discussion with the mayor. There's a brother, he will remain nameless for the moment, who has put together a invention that rivals some of the great inventions in this era. It's under patent, and it would apply to houses just like the house that the previous caller talked about. It doesn't require panels at all. And this is the Motep type invention. A brilliant, brilliant piece, and you'll be hearing more about it. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Daniels. Yes. Excuse me. Yes, I wasn't able to attend the conference, but I'd just like to speak to you about the whole situation. I was affected personally by the whole gentrification process. My house is stolen by fraudulent deed about 20 years ago. Mm. I just got it back last year. But I want to talk about the fact that when we speak about this whole gentrification process, we're talking about it in a reactionary way. We're talking about it in a very, like, we're going to get angry and we're going to say, oh, these people are coming to take over our neighborhoods, all of that kind of stuff. And ultimately, it's not about that. We have to look at the fact that these neighborhoods were inhabited by the same people who are coming back to take these neighborhoods over. It's not gentrification. It's land reclamation. Mm. And if we look at the economic situation, the way it's being played out, Robert Moses, back in the late 50s and early 60s, actually planned these cities in the same way that they're being played out right now. So we're being foisted into this situation where we go, oh, well, you know, we're doing this and we're doing that, and we're not able to hold on to our neighborhoods. There's a lot deeper situations that are being going on, and that we're being played into this emotional reaction, and that's what usually happens. It's emotional reaction and not looking at the fact that these things are planned.
Oh,
they're
yeah, no
not,
question about it. Well, let me just say this. At this summit, that was stressed. In fact, Robert Moses'
yes.
name came up as one of the examples of this planning that years, 10, 15, 20, 25 years in advance that, you know, and it's hard for people under duress to keep up, you know.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah,
and that's
that
why the plans work.
Right.
That's why the plans work. And so if we as people who formulate these formats and go into this, stress the emotional factor, people are not going to think. Nobody
well, that's
wants
not
to
the case. Let me just assure you that what we brought together was some of the brightest and best and most sober
thinkers absolutely
across
believe
the country.
It.
But look, I want to move on to the next call. You've made your point. I got about 4 minutes left. I want to get a couple of other callers. I just want to assure you that we brought together people across sectors who are serious about planning and thinking and soberly, you know, dealing with this issue. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Afternoon. How are you?
Fine.
Hey, you were speaking about principles and uniting behind a principle. Whether we're going to unite behind the idea that a one person, shouldn't be given billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars, do we realize how dangerous that is to the health of the species, and that one man with $1 billion can literally buy a nuclear and start a war? And just be a hero by killing, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just insane that we keep, everybody's expendable, instantaneously expendable by death. Yet we give these people billions of dollars for, you know, literally just owning a company or sitting home and calling, you know, easy shots to make themselves more money. And if we don't get behind the idea that you cannot have billions of dollars to buy our government, to buy our environment, to buy our stock market, to buy every house that's owned and you can rent it back to us, you're feeding off each other. Those species is going to live long, that's smart enough to kill each other and destroy the whole world, is going to live long feeding off each other.
That's right. All right, got that point. Let's see, can we get the final one in from this caller? Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello?
Good afternoon. You got about a minute to make your observation. You got a ton of callers, and they started flowing in here like crazy. So you got about a minute.
I'd like to know when we're going to get our own black contractors to some work.
Well, I know that that's one of the priorities that the mayor talked about, and that's a priority across the country. And there are ways to do that so that actually people are not subcontractors. They are either they are the main contractor, or at least they are the co-contractor. And the mayor talked about, and he outlined that in this presentation and gave a specific example how that's working. Obviously need some help with that, and we in the Institute of the Black World 21st Century have some ideas about how to do that, because sometimes the contractor may not necessarily be found locally, but if it's a network of African-American contractors nationally, they can come in and then they partner with a co-equal contractor at the local level, and that avoids them having to then go to an other than African person as a subcontractor. So that is definitely on the agenda and will be definitely looked at. Thanks much. Appreciate your call. Well, you know, folks were a little slow calling at first, and then y'all started crowding in. That was good. You can rest assured that we will continue to talk about this issue time and time again. It is one of the things that we do with Vantage Point is that it's action-oriented. It is solution-oriented. And that's a part of the work that we do. So I'm not a radio personality and have no desire to do that. I do this show in hopes of dispensing information and knowledge, because knowledge is power, but also because across the board, the Institute of the Black World 21st Century is engaged in these kinds of collaborative efforts. And this was one of the most difficult ones, one of the most strenuous ones. But I got to tell you, this could have been, and I'm going to claim it, it will be a game changer in terms of this approach to blunting and checking gentrification. Some of it's already occurred. We can't necessarily reverse that, but certainly the tools are going to be put in place to recapture our communities, rebuild our communities, and the healing of our communities in terms of the psychocultural infusion of knowledge is a part of that process. So, again, we thank so much WBAI for carrying the program live, all of the other partners that participated. I'm feeling a little bit better because you all called in today, and so therefore I hope to be much more energized next week here on Vantage Point on 99.5 FM with the Pacifica Network. Thank you so much for tuning in.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.